We just got done reading in our congregation, responsively, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 17 to 32. So if you have a Bible, please open it to Proverbs chapter 10, and if you desire, follow along as we made some passing comments on this particular portion of God's Word. I would like to look first at verses 25 and verses 30 collectively. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. You hear so much today about once saved, always saved. You hear the expression, you know, total security. And then there are those on the opposite side of this debate that would argue that it would be possible, it is possible for a child of God to possibly lose their salvation. And I've been around these people for quite a long time, especially with 24 years in the military and being on at least three separate continents within those 24 years, plus moving about in different states here in our own country. You get to come in contact with all kinds of people who profess to be Christians. All kinds of stripes and spots, if you will. And there always has been an element of those who would say, well, it's possible, Bob, for someone to lose their salvation. And one of their arguments against the biblical position runs as follows. Well, if you claim once saved, always saved, then in essence you're telling those who are Christians that they could live any way they want to live because their sins are under the blood, their name has been etched in the book of life, and therefore they can't lose it, so they might as well enjoy life to the fullest. And by enjoying life, they're implying delving into darkness. Well, my answer back to someone of that nature or of that persuasion is, if somebody who claims to be a Christian takes that position and lives as if there is no hell, and simply says his sins are under the blood, his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he was one of God's chosen before time, but he lives no different than prior to his conversion, then I take the position that man has never been saved. And therefore he will perish in the end. Why? He's not a true believer. He's not truly been born from above. That's my position. But if you want to use the term once saved, always saved, or you want to use the term the preservation and the perseverance of the saints, whatever term or nomenclature you want to tag on it, I believe we can find that same teaching here even in the Old Testament. And I think verse 25 is one of those examples. It talks about the whirlwind being in the life of the wicked. Now, what does a whirlwind do whenever a tornado comes into town? It normally destroys everything in its path, okay? It comes into town, and by the time it leaves, all that's left is rubble, death, destruction, and a whole lot of tears, right? As the whirlwind, or as the tornado, or as the gust front passeth, so is the wicked no more. Okay? There is no security for the wicked. Okay? There is no hope of everlasting life for those who die in Adam, who die in their sins, who die unrepentantly. The whirlwind will simply take them away, and they will be no more. But then notice the contrast. But the righteous. Now, who are the righteous? Both Old and New Testament. Okay? Righteousness was something that was given to individuals who placed faith and trust in the Messiah who was to come, and those of us on this side of the cross placing faith and trust in the one who did die on the cross. Justification is by faith alone in Christ alone. Old Testament, New Testament, period. No works involved, no works righteousness involved, no need to go on a pilgrimage, no need to burn candles, pray on beads, pray intercessory prayers for the dead. None of that stuff will do anything for you. It would damn you, but it won't do anything positively for you. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. So I see total security in that verse. The fact that a true born-again believer, someone who has been called by the Spirit, quickened by the Spirit, heard the gospel, understood the gospel, understood their plight, understood their need, understood who the Savior was, and by faith embraced him in the totality of his person and his work. Well, what do you find in verse 30? The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. Well, that latter part of verse 30 seems to kind of dovetail the Sermon on the Mount, where it says the meek shall inherit the earth. And when you look at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus starts off by describing the true citizens of his kingdom in those Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is not something that we strive to become. The Beatitudes is a description of who are truly members of the kingdom of Christ. Jesus describes in detail who are the members of his heavenly kingdom, living on earth right now, in the flesh, pumping blood, and inhaling oxygen, my dear friends. So, I submit to you that verses 25 and verse 30 are excellent verses of assurance and hope for a true child of God. But on the flip side, very fearful words for those who reject and spurn the free offer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there are other vignettes that are found in this particular portion. Look at verse 22. The blessing of the Lord maketh it rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Well, my dear friends, if you work a very industrious life, and you're honest in your business dealings, you are faithful in paying out whatever debts or bills that you acquire, okay? And you run a business or you run a home with biblical principles, I'm here to tell you, based on that verse, the blessing of the Lord will make that business or that home rich. Not necessarily in silver and gold and coin or paper currency, but there's going to be a blessed richness in that business. People will love to come to work. There will be harmony in that particular shop, if you will. When it comes to a home, the home will have the basic necessities of life to the full. There will be no want or deprivation because you're following the principles of God's word. What else does it say? And he, the Lord God, added no sorrow with it. I take the position that if somebody runs a business very well, or works for a business, comes to work on time, does a full day's work to get a full day's pay, all right, pays bills on time, kind and courteous to his neighbors all around him as much as possible, takes care of his pets, his family, his children, things of that nature, then that individual is going to enjoy life without any sorrow attached to it. Who is the one who has sorrow? Well, the one that gets those letters in the mail saying, bill, past due, third warning, or third notice. That person has a whole lot to be sorry for. Or the individual that gets the eviction notice because they haven't paid their rent in 3 months, or the bank forecloses on their mortgage because they haven't paid their mortgage bill in, say, 3 or 4 months. That sorrow that's been brought upon that family, or that business, or that household, all because of what? Violating basic principles of life. Again, these proverbs, beloved, are vignettes that tell us that as Solomon looked out at the world and he saw certain principles being put into practice, it led to certain consequences. Some were good consequences. Others were not so good consequences. And that's what we find here in the book of Proverbs. So as we continue our journey in the book of Proverbs, we're going to look every so often at certain ones of these vignettes, and then look at the world around us, and let's see if these Proverbs have met the test of time. Would you say that you have seen verse 22 practiced in the lives of other people? Beloved, even if a pagan person obeys basic principles of peace and harmony and goodwill, pays their bills on time, provides for their household, or provides for their business, they're going to flourish. And even there, the blessing of the Lord may be found without any sorrow attached to it. Even if a pagan was to follow these principles, they would be blessed in turn. But more so for the child of God who would look at the Proverbs and realize that this is the very breath of God on paper. And God is telling us that if we apply these principles to our lives, there is blessing. But to violate them or to go contrary to them will invite sorrow. Well, may the Lord richly choose to bless these Proverbs of Solomon in our hearing. Amen.